And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good?
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do, and I'm glad you could join us out there. Hope everybody's shaking off all the snow out of their boots or fucking galoshes or snowshoes or whatever the fuck they walk around in. All frigid ass fucking New York or wherever you are. If you're in California warm, I'm obviously not talking to you. I hope your fucking sunny day is going well, but... I hope everyone's getting ready to fucking get rid of all the cold and bring in the lion or the fucking the warmth. How does the spring come in? Comes in like a lion out like a lamb.
Yeah, it's in like a lion out like a lamb.
Or
it's like the other way around.
Or in like a lamb and out like a lion.
Yeah.
That doesn't make as much sense. In like a lion. I think it's in like a lion. Although in what? Like what the fuck is the lion? Who's gonna have a lion in your house?
I feel like this is like a Midwest colloquialism, and this is like something you and I have in common.
Oh, okay.
I bet like half the people are just like confused.
Oh, people out there don't even know that the spring comes in like a lion and out like a lamb.
I think.
Why don't you get some culture in your fucking lives? Good thing you tuned in to Dispatches from the Underground that we can give you some fucking culture and train you in the ways of the lion and the lambs, because that's what you're living in. Anyway, whatever. We're not gonna even talk about the fucking lions and lambs anymore. That's all beside the point. That wonderful voice that you hear is my incredible guest today, a member of the Dispatch from the Underground Collective. Lauren, what's up? How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
I'm terrible, but no one wants to hear that, right?
No, this is a
fucking fun episode.
With an awkward answer.
Yeah, well, it's the truth. You know, we want to fucking bring people the truth here at Dispatches.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but thank you for your lying answer now that you fucking just told me that you didn't really feel that way. Which brings me to the point of what this podcast is, right? We're not here to tell you about the fucking weather. This podcast has two major purposes. One, we want to tell people about what's going on in the underground. We want to bring some good underground shit out from inside of our fucking hearts and hopefully splash it onto your face and infect you with whatever fucking underground disease that we have fucking coursing through our veins. And on the flip side, we want to take a good, clean look at the bullshit, superficial mainstream media that everyone has portrayed all around us. And we want to rip it apart and hopefully crawl into their skin and understand their disease better. That's what we do. And I think we're going to do it well on the show today.
Oh, yeah.
The two things that we're going to discuss, the mainstream thing we're going to deal with first. In the first part of the episode, we're going to talk about this new HBO show, Westworld. Lauren is going to do a good job of breaking it down and explaining to you what this show is all about when we get into the episode. And so if you don't know anything about this show, don't freak out and don't fucking tune it out, all right? Because we're going to walk through it. And maybe by the end of it, you'll be interested. I think you will be interested in watching the show. We're not being given any money by HBO to make that happen. Although HBO, if you're listening, we would be interested in that.
Please do. We're open to it. Open to talks.
Totally fucking, we'll just take free HBO.
Yeah, actually, that's all we require is just free HBO access, and we're happy.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can just send us that check. But yeah, hopefully, I think by the end of this, you will go and watch the show, and we're not going to give you any spoilers. You're still thoroughly going to enjoy the show, I promise you. But we're going to walk through it, and we're going to talk about the show. And I think by looking at this mainstream stuff, we're really going to find some good kernels in there. I think you'd agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
And on the flip side of that, we're going to take some inspiration from the mainstream, and we're going to reflect on a little bit of underground stuff. And by underground, we're really getting into ourselves and like, who are we truly? Are we the public image that we portray, or are we that private troll who hides behind a fucking nickname on the web and just trolls our friends or whatever? Who are we really? Which one of those are we? So we're going to get into that in the second part of the episode. And, there's themes that are going to run through the whole thing. But I think you're going to dig it. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Put on your thinking caps and let's get some shit done. Or is thinking cap, is that another Midwestern colloquialism? Or does that everyone have that?
I mean, I can't answer for it. I'm from the Midwest too.
Okay, if y'all could just write into us and tell us if you
let us know
if you have thinking caps and lions and lambs.
Yeah, we're interested.
Yeah, you can email us at the Dispatches Collective at dftunderground@gmail.com, or hit us up on Facebook. That's really the best way to do it. Lauren has been posting some great stuff on our Facebook page. Every time someone posts something on our Facebook page on Dispatches, Lauren posted it. Every time someone posts something that people like, Lauren posted it. And every time someone posts something that no one gives a shit about, I posted it. So you can fucking try to figure out who's posting what. But go to the Facebook page, search for Dispatch of the Underground. We have a Twitter handle too. I think it's DFT Underground. You can hit us up on that. Tons of ways to get in touch with us. A couple of thank yous real quick. I want to thank Real Punk Radio at realpunkradio.com for including us in their weekly radio lineup. You can listen to us every Wednesday night at 11 p.m. on realpunkradio.com. We're super happy to be proud of that community. I want to thank everybody in the Dispatches from the Underground Collective, especially Lauren, for doing all the great work she does to help keep this fucking podcast going. I really appreciate all that, and it's been super helpful to have some other wonderful brains melded into this project. So I can't say how much I appreciate that. I also want to thank everybody out there who's been emailing us, writing us, listening to the podcast, putting comments on our iTunes. That's huge for us. Please put more comments and rate us on iTunes. Been a big help. And appreciate everyone listening in. Enough of the fucking gratitude bullshit, right? Let's get to the show. We're going to listen to some tunes, and we're going to fucking talk some shit about Westworld and the creepy private selves you have in there. Does that sound good, Lauren?
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Fucking do it.
Get down.
All right, before we get to the episode, I want to listen to some tunes. We're going to listen to a couple of tunes throughout the episode, but I wanted to play some tunes on this episode that I feel like stylistically sort of meld in with some of the themes that we're talking about. Now, obviously, we don't have any Western sci-fi punk music that we're playing, but I picked tunes today that I feel like encompass a little sense of the old school, like a little bit of a Western twang, or maybe like a little bit of a... the acoustic sensibilities of the old West, but also they modernize it into a way that make it entertaining for us youngins. And I think the best at that, when I think of what a sci-fi Western band would be, it would be Dirty Kid Discount. They're not playing fucking Western music, but to me, they're melding these genres into this fucking like dark, crazy orchestra, like a dark circus, but has nothing to do with Insane Clown Posse. I think they're incredible. I listen to them all the time. I really love this record, and I know that they are in the studio and recording several albums as we speak, so I'm really excited to hear their new tunes. Here is Dirty Kid Discount from Portland, Oregon. Get down.
But the hands of
So Lauren and I were talking online the other day, and we were talking about some television shows, and we were talking with Steve. Steve, you and me were talking the other day.
Yeah.
And we were talking about television shows, and you suggested that I watch this show, Westworld. And I was like, that's a fucking dumbass name for a show. I actually really do like Westerns. So I was like, okay, you know, I like Westerns. And I think you mentioned or someone mentioned it was a sci-fi. I'm like, oh, yeah, Western sci-fi. All right, that's kind of dumb. But let's watch it. Let's try it out. And I have to say thank you for getting me to watch that show, because I fucking loved it. And I feel like it is like the best and worst example of what capitalism produces as television shows. And I think there's so much to look at. And I think it's perfect for Dispatches, because there is so much depth in it. But you have to peel back past, like, you know, the Monster Energy drinks and like the monster trucks. Not that there are monster trucks and monster energy drinks in the show, but you know, I feel like that mentality is still there anyway. But how did you find out about this show? Is this like a big show? I don't even know.
Yeah, I think it's a big show. I actually finally got access to HBO via my sisters. Gave me somebody's password.
Oh, don't worry. I'll just bleep all that out. Don't
worry. No, it's fine. But I didn't have any access to it. But I had a bunch of people talk to me about it.
A bunch of people mentioned it to you.
Yeah. But then when they said Western, I had the opposite reaction. I was like, I don't really like Westerns. Mm. Then when they said sci-fi, I was into it. And, you know, I figured I'd give it a try, and it's super fucking weird. Everybody didn't know how exactly to describe it to me other than it's sci-fi and Western, and you have to watch it. Mm. And that's like all of the descriptors I got.
I'm fascinated, but first of all, let me give a little disclaimer first. And we're not going to give any major spoilers away, but there are going to be some things that we'll mention. So we'll try to avoid the major spoilers, but I think that it's kind of unavoidable to say a few things, but we'll try to be careful.
And I mean, you haven't even finished the show yet, so I've got to watch myself too.
Yeah, I've seen about half the episodes. But here. So after that disclaimer, I want to know, these people who mentioned it to you, how do you know these people? They're just like normal folks. They're not political folks.
Just normal. Like, I work with them.
This is a big HBO show. Like millions of people watch this.
Yeah. Yeah, people are into it.
I'm fucking fascinated by that, because to me, the show has so much depth to it. And I just love the fact that you have a mainstream show on a mainstream channel, and, you know, the most mainstream of channels, really.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's still cable, but, you know.
I mean, it's HBO, so it's like the cool cable, like, you know.
Right, but they're
supposed to be like a little subversive, but not too subversive. Right, but this is pretty subversive when you look into it.
This is pretty fucking subversive, and there's some really radical ideas in here. And I'm impressed that they produced it. And I just feel like this is the best of what capitalism can produce, because it is fucking entertaining. Like, even if you're a vapid, Trump-supporting piece of shit, you're watching this show and you're like identifying with characters, you're really thinking about, I mean, I think the show is really entertaining for them.
I mean, I think it's entertaining and interesting that capitalism produced this show that's almost inherently anti-capitalist.
Are we seeing that? Okay, I want to come back to that
a
little bit later. Let's talk about the entertainment value for a second.
All right, fair enough.
Because I think the show is incredibly entertaining. And they almost like genetically engineered this show to be entertaining, because it's sci-fi, but it's not like aliens and fucking like incestuous aliens or some shit. Like, it's pretty straight. It's pretty like, you know, possible sci-fi.
Yeah, it's the kind of sci-fi that you're like, I could see that happening in maybe 20 years. Not quite right now, but I could see that happening.
Should we give, maybe people don't even know this. Maybe it's not mainstream enough, because I didn't know about this before. So let's give a little quick little breakdown. You want to do it?
Yeah. I'll do it. All right. So Westworld is kind of like a theme park for the super rich, where you go in and there's all of these essentially like robots that look super, super lifelike. And they've got different storylines. You interact with them, and it's kind of your own little playground. So it's a theme park, but hyper realistic. It's kind of like almost like the choose your own story, like books that you read as a kid, where like you can choose to go to different areas with different, you know, outcomes. Like, the further you go out, the deeper you get into it, the crazier it gets. Or, you know, if you're with your kids, stay in like the, you know, the center area. But it is for the essentially uber rich. I think they mentioned at one point that is like $40,000 a day.
Yeah. That's super, super rich folks. And they basically role play as if they're in a Western, like back in the early 1900s.
Yeah.
But there's a suggestion that the show takes place in the future. There's no real clarity on that.
They actually, and it isn't a spoiler, but they never show the outside world through all of season one. Like, they never go outside of, like, the Westworld headquarters. So you don't actually know what, you know, the real life situation is, like what time period this is set in.
But they give a sense that it's not some futuristic far off place. Like, everyone's pretty much using normal speak. There's no different words. People are drinking margaritas. Like, there's no weird shit. They're not,
normal clothing.
Yeah, just no spaceships and shit like that.
Yeah,
the
very
technology
normal.
Is just suggested to be further advanced. And there is this humongous park. Like, it's really like a world. It's like a territory, like a Western territory. It's humongous.
Yeah. I was kind of trying to figure out if this was like an actual world and if it was just kind of in the middle of like Wyoming or Utah where this like rich person just bought up all this space. Or like, where the fuck is this set?
Well, there's a scene in one of the episodes where Anthony Hopkins' character, Robert, who is kind of like the father figure, the grandfather. He's the one who sort of developed the whole idea for the park. He is building a new, like, they call it a narration, I think, or a storyline.
Yeah, it's a narration. So, like, they've got different storylines. So, like, they started off with one, and then there was more. And so, like, again, going to, like, the choose-your-own-story thing.
I think that's a good way to put it, actually.
He added, like, another one, and, like, they keep getting, like, more extreme or interesting. So, you've got different variations.
They were building the new storyline, and you could see a mountain being built, like, as they were mentioning it. So, it's a coded... It's like sort of like a holographic, like if anyone watches Star Trek, I don't know if there's any Dispatches Star Trek fans, but there's like this hologram room. There's like this fucking room you can go in and there's holographic like storylines. It's kind of like an extension of that, really. It's sort of like taking that and then putting it in our world with the people who live here. And the point that the big part of the show is the humans who go into this basically just want to have sex with prostitutes and mass murder like other robot people.
Yeah, because they're robots that they don't feel. They come back the next day.
They live out their fantasies.
Yeah, they live out their wildest fantasies. They want to get away from their real life. They want to, you know, just pretend that they're in the old West, but then not really, because they have it set up, which also isn't a spoiler, that the robots can't hurt you back. So like, there's no real repercussions for these humans coming into it. Like they can murder, rape, which happens,
and
whatever the fuck they want to do, start wars, and it all doesn't really matter in the long run. And they go back to their like cushy jobs because obviously they can afford $40,000 a day to do this, and that's it.
And you know, there's so many like little things in here, but let's just talk about entertainment wise. So like entertainment wise, I think this show is fascinating because it was like the robot itself. It's just like genetically engineered to entertain pieces of shit. Honestly, and we're entertained too, so I don't know if that says anything about us, but it's like tons of naked, attractive people, men and women.
Yes.
Just every episode is just riddled with naked people. Mm-hmm. So there's that. First of all, they got that right off the front. That's like, I feel like that was the pitch to HBO. It's like, everyone's going to be naked every episode.
Sold.
And they're like, oh yeah, sure, no problem. Then whatever else you got to do.
How much money do you want?
Exactly. Don't worry, it's all going to take place in the West. Awesome.
Whatever. Yeah. I stopped listening.
And so there's that. There's tons of like gratuitous violence, just like the most gratuitous. Like all the characters die multiple times, really.
Yeah,
because
I can't even count how many times the main characters have died.
Yeah, it's just endless. And there's just tons of blood, tons of gore. But they're not real. So
they're not real, and they also, and this might be like a small spoiler, but I think you find it out in the first episode. They don't remember.
Right.
So, like...
Not a spoiler. It happened in the first episode.
So, like, as a robot, if you're killed, you're raped, you're tortured, of course, you I don't know if you even feel the pain. You're aware of it. Like, they're set up to be aware of the pain. Like, they're screaming, they're fighting, like, they're fighting back, but not in a murderous way. Like, they'll kick and scream, but they can't really do anything. And then the next day, they literally start over as if nothing happened because they have no memory of it.
And even if you take all the political connotations, all the psychological connotations, all the philosophical implications out of everything in the show, it's still a fucking entertaining show. You're like, man, this, I don't know if you could do that because like inherently in all this is that, but
It makes you think about it too much. Like, fuck. I think it'd be more work to try not to think about all of those connotations.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I feel like some backward people could probably make a show where it's just gratuitous sex. It would just be pornography then.
Just define pornography.
But I feel like a lot of people would watch the show. When I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, okay, this is, I realized it was on HBO because you mentioned that you've seen it on HBO Prime or whatever it is. But to me, it was like, this is like some PBS style shit. Like, this is like IFC channel. This is like, you know, Sci-Fi channel. This is like some underground shit because it's super, to me, there's obvious political implications, but they never actually say it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's actually like Confederate Army in the show.
Yeah.
And to me, that's like speaking to like these backward Confederate fuck Trump heads, you know, who are like, oh, cool, I can watch the Confederacy. I'm like, man, I see why they put this in the show.
Yeah, because it'll appeal to everyone.
It really is fucking like thought through on the entertainment side first. And then the secondary element of like this political stuff is interesting.
I mean, there's a secondary element of like the political stuff, but also like about humanity. Like, are these robots human? Like, honestly, like, so me and my partner finished the show last night. We stayed up till 4 a.m. like just debating humanity. And just like it's a super big like mind fuck. Like like these robots are created, but like every part of their personality is, you know,
programmed.
Yep. But they also have feelings, but the feelings are programmed. But then are they human? Like, they're not treated as if they're human. They're treated just as, you know, objects to like for entertainment.
Exactly.
But at the same time, should they be just treated that way? And like, at what point do you differentiate between like a human that was, you know, just born into this world and a human that was created via technology?
And the show doesn't like lay that on super thick. Like, I
no,
think
not at all.
You could watch this and sort of like avoid those questions. Like, it's not layered on it super thick. But I think that it would naturally occur even to non-political people. I'm watching the show and I'm thinking these things and I'm taking some notes because I'm interested to talk about this stuff. But then I'm also like thinking about like, what is a Trump supporter watching this show? I'm fascinated by that. I'm fascinated by the idea of like a Trump supporter watching this stuff and like what they're thinking about when they're watching. They're just like, oh man, look at those boobies.
There was this one part too where like racism is programmed into the robots.
Oh geez,
too.
I didn't see that.
And so I feel like it was a very small part. Like, actually, my partner missed it too. It was very like subtle. And there was this guy gambling, and he was half black, half white. And he was just like, you know, oh, you're going to search me because the guys came after him. Like, he was winning a bunch of money at the gambling table, and the guy came at him, and they were accusing him of cheating. And the guy's like, well, you know, why are you coming after me? He's like, oh, and you know, like, is it because of like my half black side? They're like, oh, we'll only search that half of you.
Oh, geez.
And it was just like, it was very, very quick and very subtle. But the racism in the show, I feel like maybe would make some of the Trump supporters happier.
Yeah, they were like, oh, this, you know.
Yeah, like, that's normal. Like,
they could see Trump as being one of these androids because he just says what's on his mind and there's no like social cues he has to concern himself with. And there's also the element of like, I see ourselves in the robots too. Because we're living these lives, we're really programmed. I mean, it's so, you know, everyone around us is programmed to think the things we say. Like, people think thoughts, but like, where do your thoughts come from? You didn't come up with those thoughts. You didn't read them in some like book that you developed yourself. You learned those thoughts from the people around you. Their thoughts have been passed by from your parents down to you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems like there's so much of the programming side is the fact that there are rich capitalists who suggest the culture that we live in and pass these thoughts down to us and set the conditions around which we do things.
I mean, and that's one of the things that it's hard to see the robots as humans, because if their memory gets wiped every day, they only have the basis of what they were programmed to do. They don't have experiences to build off of and then form their own personality.
I'm not sure why you're saying that's hard to see as human then.
Yeah, exactly. I'm saying that's why it's hard to see them as human.
No,
like,
but
that's the only...
That makes sense to me to see them as human.
That makes sense to, like, if all of their experiences are wiped every single day and they just start off like as a fresh slate, like they don't have any experiences to build off of, as like, you know, you were just saying, like, you know, different life experiences, things that you've learned, like they start at zero every day.
Oh, bullshit. Listen. Yeah. They start at zero. I get what you're saying about the show, but you're trying to tell me the people out here don't start at zero. They get drunk and they go home. And then every night it's like they forget everything that happened to them the day before. Like, none of their people's experiences out here don't shape their lives. You're telling
me they do.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like their memory is wiped every night. You're telling me that Trump supporters' memory, no black person has ever stabbed a Trump supporter.
We should.
I wish they had, right? but still they or no, we'll stick with Mexicans, right? Because no Mexican has ever raped a Trump supporter. No, like, illegal Mexican has ever fucking crossed the border and raped a Trump supporter. But they want to build a wall because they want to keep these rapists out. Not because they've ever had any experience with that.
Mm-hmm.
Their memories have been wiped clear every night. They may or they think that they did or they think that they didn't. Trump has programmed them to think this way.
And okay, I can see that. I see what you're saying.
I think that alcohol and, no offense to the alcohol drinkers out there, alcohol and video games and HBO and pornography wipe our memory clear every day. And it doesn't even matter. People.
I don't think it wipes our memory clear every day.
The programming is more strong than the memories. The programming is stronger than the memories.
I definitely agree that there is programming. I don't think that it's as violent with wiping the memories away. I feel like it numbs and distorts more than wiping away completely. So I understand mm-hmm. the way you're coming from it. But yeah, definitely distorts. It definitely numbs. Like, why do you think so many people drink?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They don't want to remember
right.
everything that's happening, mm-hmm. whether it be good or bad.
Mm-hmm. And there's some elements that touch on that in the story, too. There's a lot of little thematic touchings on suffering and the fact that our suffering really defines us. And I'm fascinated by that theme. I think that that's very true. And I think the best people in life are most likely the people who've gone through the most suffering because they've learned who they are and who's around them the most. Sadly, the suffering does define us. But I think that this program, I didn't think about the memory element mm-hmm. until you brought that up. It's clear the programming element.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's super thick in the show. But, you know, the memory element, I didn't really think about that. But I do think out there in the real world, the people we're talking with, I mean, your memories are wiped clean, motherfuckers. Y'all, and especially in America, the fucking 10-second memories that people have, like, they can't remember what the fuck the wild, wet, like, they don't even know where, like, Ontario, Canada is. Like, they couldn't find Syria on a map. Like, these people.
I mean, I think that goes, like, whereas, like, technology can and is a great thing at times. Like, I feel like there's so much information getting pumped into everyone where you forget something that happened, like, a week ago. Where it's,
exactly.
like, with the whole, like, Trump thing, like, I've spoken to, like, different people in my family and different friends, and they're all like, well, you know, this can't happen. You can't, like, take control like that. I'm like, what? Like, you know, just to use the same analogy a lot of people do, like, Hitler wasn't that long ago.
Right.
Like, with the pump of information we have right now, it seems like something that happened a year ago was a long time ago. But when right. you really look at the span of, like, the entire world's history, it was not that long ago. And just people, like, can't comprehend that because there's a new thing happening every 5 seconds. I'm sure I'm getting notifications on my phone right now, which would distract me. Like,
that's a really good point. And, you know, there's touches on that in the show, like the relationship between technology and memory. You know, the negative side of that, that's fascinating.
And I kind of wonder if, like, some of the reason that these people go into Westworld, which I hadn't thought about until before, like, they don't have their phones with them. They can't have any of that. They're completely disconnected from anybody that's not in there. I feel like that's probably a reason that these, like, uber wealthy people go in, because they can't be contacted. They can't be connected unless, like, you know, something major happens, you know, they'll get help. But, you know, it's their own real escape from the world around them.
And that's the point of the show, and that is the entertaining quality of it. It's sort of like this sociological experiment that they have this high-tech like set for and great actors for. Ed Harris kills it in the show. He's amazing. He mm-hmm. plays the rapey bad guy looking for answers
William.
From Arnold. Yeah. I'm not sure which one his name is, but the guy dresses in all black. He's fucking fantastic in the show. I mean, everybody's just great. And plus, there's just scores of nude people in the entire thing. So, like, I feel like Trump supporters, watch the show, and hopefully maybe you can think a little bit about, you know, what's happening, too.
And I can't remember the actor's name that plays Bernard, but he is fantastic.
He's great, yeah.
I think he's the best actor in the show.
There's tons. I mean, everybody does a phenomenal job.
Evan Rachel
job.
Wood does a great job.
The woman who plays Maeve, runs the prostitution house.
I don't know her name either, but she's, yeah, it's incredible acting.
Really, really fucking good acting. Listen, I think that people should watch it for a couple of reasons. I think that there's a ton of stuff to draw out of it. But the conversations that you have with your significant others because of this show, if you're watching it together, they're going to be contentious and they're going to be productive and they're going to be philosophical and you're going to get someplace new. You're going to discuss new things with them.
You might fight a little bit. We definitely fought about it in a very healthy, productive way.
I don't think there's any way not to.
Yeah, you like, you know, everybody that watches it, I feel like, of course, you got the entertainment values. Like, don't think it's going to be super heavy. Like, it can be. It kind of, I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody takes, like, different parts away from it. And it's almost more interesting to either, like, watch it with somebody or, you know, watch it separately and then discuss it. Because, like, you kind of look back and think of different nuances that you missed.
Yeah, it's really good. We're gonna continue on with a strand of this into our second part of the show today. And I want to talk about, let's stop here. Let's listen to a tune, and then we'll take it from there. All right, let's get down. Let's take a little break, and let's listen to another tune. This is a tune from a band that I saw. I think they were touring with, Jesus Christ, I can't even remember who they were touring with now. Maybe Days and Days, maybe My Pizza, My World, or one of those groups. This is a band that I think they were touring with Days and Days, actually, now that I think about it, but I can't, you know, it's all a haze. This is a band that I think also sort of goes along with the themes that we're talking about in the episode today. Just like bringing together multiple worlds, and you know, there's like this weird mixture of like comforting older style sort of country music, not like country music, but like country-esque music, rustic music, but bringing it into a world that we live in, bringing it into our world. So I think it goes well with Westworld. Plus, you know, if you listen to the show, when you're watching the show, I noticed that in like one of the first few episodes of Westworld, they were playing Black Hole Sun by Soundgarden on the fucking piano, like the weird old-timey piano. And I was like, that's fucking Black Hole Sun. And then so throughout the season, if you listen to the tunes, they're like country-asked music that's played through like these old-timey, these old-timey pianos. It's pretty interesting. So that's not what we're listening to now, but I think that this band is better than Soundgarden. So here is Nomad Mountain Outlaw. Get down.
Thank you.
All right, in the first half of the show, we were talking about Westworld, and we're not going to talk about the show itself too much anymore, but I want to transition into one of the strands of political or maybe philosophical or whatever ideas that sort of spring out from the show, right? So people go into this – they go into this fake world. These rich people go into this fake world because they want – well, it's hard to say exactly, but – they are going into a fantasy world where they aren't themselves to play someone that they secretly want to be, right? So they're expressing their fantasies that they feel like they can't live in real life. And this idea of the two versions of yourself is kind of constantly being brought up in the show. It's repeated multiple times. If you're just watching the show, we're not spoiling anything. It's just a theme. But they mention this concept sort of repeatedly throughout the show, like who you are or who you could be, you know, these kind of ideas. So I wanted to talk with you, Lauren, about like, what do you think about this idea of this public and this private idea of the self?
I mean, I think it's natural for every person to have it, whether or not they want to admit it. Like, you've got your comfort zones and then you don't. Like, your public self doesn't have to necessarily be something you like put on display for like a bunch of people, but just like the way you behave like in situations where you don't really know the people around you, and then versus like the situations where you're like with a bunch of like trusted friends or like loved ones, like you're going to behave differently based on comfort level alone, if not for other reasons where you're like trying to portray a certain person, which is a whole different thing.
Well, let's talk about that whole different thing, right?
Okay.
The first part you brought up is actually a really interesting point, and I didn't actually think about that, like the comfort level element of being comfortable and expressing who you are versus fitting some other mentality of how people see you. But let's talk about this, like, deep-seated, you know, I don't know, fantasies that people in the show portray or people that we know in the real world portray, or, you know, obviously, you know, online or whatever, people portray this like this seedy, dark inner self. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't even have to be.
Even online, like if you bring that up, like that's an insane thing. Like if people behave and spoke to each other the way they do on online comments, like I can't even imagine, like most people that are like the trolls online would not speak the same way if it was like face to face to somebody. Like I feel like it's just, yeah, it's a mask, or like it's essentially like a name they hide behind. Like nobody can ever find you. So of course they're going to say like, I'm going to fucking kill you, or just, you know.
Okay, but you say it's a mask. Let's just play devil's advocate for a second here. Is it really? This is why people love Trump. This is why all these trolls love Trump.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's not a mask, right? Maybe it's their true self. Is the self that they represent when they're trolling. Maybe their true self is the honest, oh, well, you know, I'm a racist, and I think all Mexicans are rapists, but you're going to hate me for it, so I can't say that. So it's actually them revealing their true self.
So I will agree with that. So, like, I guess we could equate, like the username to, like, a Ku Klux Klan robe. Like, they're hiding behind that. Not that it's not their true selves, but they have somewhere to hide.
Mm.
Yeah, that's where I was going with it. Sorry.
Interesting. So their username is their clan robe. That's who they really are. That's who they really want to be. But they feel social pressure.
They'll be oppressed by society.
And you know what? I think that, to me, that's the really good element of society is, like, let's oppress the shit.
Exactly.
And that's uncomfortable to say because you don't want to oppress people's true selves. Like, that's how people get turned into the closet. That's how people get afraid of being themselves. And that's uncomfortable to say. But when yourself is oppressive, when yourself is beset and like...
If you're oppressing oppression, is it oppression?
it is. I think we just need to learn how to be comfortable with that.
Or is it wrong? If you're oppressing oppression, is it wrong?
Okay. I mean, I think this is a fascinating point. The idea that the public, your private self that is now coming out into the public. Trump is like a personification of this, right?
He's like everybody's like id that voted for him.
He really
and he's
is.
Just like acting on it. And they're like, oh, I don't have to actually do it, but yes, fuck yes, do it.
Right, he is going to let me say all the racist, backward shit that I want. Thank God for him, right?
Yeah, like finally I've got a safe space for that.
And is it, so these people who are hiding behind Trump or hiding behind their clan robes or hiding behind their usernames, they have this... How can we get them to acknowledge that and move through it, right? Because these people who are going into Westworld, they're also going in to like live out rape fantasies and like, mm-hmm. you know, suffocate prostitutes and mass murder.
Kill everybody.
Yeah, mass murder a whole bunch of people. Like, these are things that exist in them. And is it, if it exists in them, is it really bad? I mean, it exists, right? So mm-hmm. is it good or bad? Maybe that's not healthy to ask.
I mean, I don't know if it's fair for us to judge when it comes down to it. We can judge
but
it.
We do.
I don't know if it's fair.
But we do.
I mean, yeah, we do. It goes with the same thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. Other people might think that that's wrong. Of course we do. Of course we judge it.
Yeah. I want to kill Nazis. I want to kill Klansmen. I want to kill rapists.
And I mean, I think that's great, but right. other people might not.
Right. And everyone else is going to judge that. But like, here's the truth. These people, for whatever reason, they're hiding their true selves. So I can want to kill them all day, and maybe that's productive, and maybe it's not, and maybe I shouldn't speculate on the radio about that. But is there a better way? Like, can we help them work through it, like, in a constructive way? Is this doing it? Is it, like, living out their fantasies doing that? Is, like, giving them their robes back and letting them burn their fucking crosses? Is that doing it? Like,
is there even a way to rehabilitate them? And if they don't want to be, I feel like that's the biggest thing. If you don't want to change, you're not going to. You can force and put pressure on people as much as you want, but when it comes down to it, they are just going to bury that part of themselves deep down and then put on like a fake front then. Like, it's not going to get rid of it unless somebody actually wants to. So I kind of think it's – I don't want to say it's futile, because obviously I'm sure there's some cases where people could be rehabilitated or work through those like intense fucked up issues that they have with people. But I think for the most part, you're not going to get people willing to change or even admit that that part of them exists. Because
that's heavy too. That, you know, just in getting them to admit it, let alone, you know, the first step to resolving that problem is admitting that they have one. So
I mean, a lot of the racist people are the first people to be like, I'm not racist, but
right.
Like, nobody, like, very few people that are racist are like self-proclaimed racists.
And in fact, I think a lot of radicals, you know, I know a lot of radicals, obviously, and I think all of them would freely admit, like, yeah, there's racist tendencies in me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us are programmed in some way to be racist, and so those things exist. And I don't think that people would be ashamed to admit that, because it's just not really what they – it's not their ideals of trying to get past it, but it's just part of them. Okay, well, I think your point about change is really good. Maybe we should switch gears a little bit and talk about public and the private in a little bit of a different sense. Maybe a little bit less – venomous or explosive, right? So let's talk about it not in terms of hate groups and rape fantasies. Let's talk about it in terms of like our private and public selves. So like all of us, I think, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's just me, we have like a public image that we portray, right? And the way that people see us and understand us. And then there's a private reality of who we are. And those never, I don't think those ever perfectly jive. Because no one can ever, maybe your significant other or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but no one can ever really fully understand those, the intricacies. And so they develop like a caricature idea of who you are, right? And I think some people play into that. Some people, you know, they get lost in it. They feed into it. And so like, I'm just thinking, is that bad? Is that good? To have this split concept of like, maybe at, you know, the idea of who you are is different from who you are. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And I mean,
am I wrong?
I don't think you're wrong. I think, of course, with different people, it's to different degrees. And I do think that it actually is kind of healthy for most people. I think it protects you in a way from being like hyper, hyper vulnerable all of the time. Like,
What do you mean protects you from being vulnerable?
Like, I mean, if you're able to portray a certain image you want people to see, you can kind of keep your real self a little bit hidden until you feel completely comfortable with a certain, like, individual. Where, yeah, I don't know. I guess it just – I think it's a protection mechanism. I think that's, like, innately human.
That's an interesting idea in terms of protection, because your private self is being vulnerable and you're afraid. You're saying people might be afraid to express who they are because they maybe,
like,
not
negative
judged.
Reaction from people, like, you know, even for like the most like minute things, like, oh, you're actually really dorky, and just, you know, the sensitivity.
What are you trying? someone else is really doing
somebody
that.
Else with, is yeah, really yeah, doing
yeah,
that. Yeah,
I'm with you there. You know, if you look at the history of the gay rights movement in at least America, I haven't studied it worldwide. But There's a huge movement in the beginning of the gay rights movement. A lot of people just wanted to be accepted as essentially straight people with different sexual orientations, mm-hmm. right? So there was this whole movement of like, we're the same as you.
Yeah.
And that was a huge element of the beginning of a lot of movements. You know, there was the beginning of the civil rights struggle where there was an element of that. There's the beginning of feminist struggles where that was, the origins of some of these things. And I see that moving away, you know, and I see people being more comfortable with their own communities and not having to be, oh, we're the same as you. Right?
Like we're different and it's okay now.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Not that it wasn't ever okay, but like people are more
that's the movement.
Willing to like not admit it, but be like proud of it and put it out there. So I understand what you're saying. Yeah, they were had this public self. And I mean, I feel like that was also positive just to get the issues like more in the forefront and like it's progression of the movement. Like you couldn't be at this place without the initial steps being like, you know, we are just like you, but you know, there's this different about us, but now it can kind of be just like, fuck you, we're different and here we are.
You're a good person, Lauren. So I feel like maybe you're taking this in like a really healthy way and I'm thinking about it in a really unhealthy way.
All right, let's hear the unhealthy way.
So the unhealthy way that I'm thinking about it is like people have an image or an idea of what they are and they project that into the world because that's who they want to be, mm-hmm. right? And I think of like businessmen who you know, they're not living on rape fantasies when they go home. Well, mm-hmm. they might be or they might not be, right? Or they might be racist, they might not be, but they go to their office and they project this like type A personality, mm-hmm. but really inside them they have all these serious self-doubts and questions. And maybe they're not portraying them because of the vulnerability, but who are they really?
Yeah, I can see that.
Are they really the type A person, or are they really that sensitive, vulnerable person? Like, which one are they in reality?
I mean, I guess after a certain point, after portraying the type A personality for how many years, like, can you really not be that person anymore? It's kind of like, you know, you're pretending to be somebody for so long, it kind of becomes part of you whether or not you want it to be.
I agree. I've since watching the show, I mean, I've thought about this before, but perception is reality, and how other people perceive you is who you are. So almost doesn't even matter. Like if you're at home listening to Screwdriver records and mm-hmm. like walking prancing around your house like in Nazi ass chaps or something like that, like okay, is that really you? Like that's some people would say that's really you, or not you.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, let's clarify that. Yeah. Not me. I am not doing yeah, that.
That's pretty funny, though. But, you know, I think some people would be like, well, what you do in private and what you do in private is who you really are. Well, I think what you do in public is who you want to be mm-hmm. and not who you are. Who you are in private is who you're ashamed of, who you're afraid of,
I mean,
fears.
I think who you are is parts of both of those things. But I mean, if nobody actually sees you behave this way, I feel like it's lesser of a part of you than the person you portray. I think it's still there. I mean, there's no way around it, but I don't think it's as big of a part of you as the person you portray to the world.
And that actually made me, I don't know how people feel about that who are listening in to us right now, but to me that made me feel good. Not because of some fucked up bullshit, but just mm-hmm. like all these bad people who have these insidious thoughts or dark thoughts, or maybe just dark, mm-hmm. things that they're not proud of, they bury them or they ignore them. And maybe that's not healthy, right? We talked mm-hmm. about that a little bit.
But, yeah.
And maybe they can't deal with them or overcome them or get beyond them. And that's fucked up. But they want to be better. They want to fit in. Maybe mm-hmm. that's bad. But they want to be part of a group of people whose norms they're willing to ignore their own personal desires to be part of a larger group. It's self-sacrifice.
Self-sacrifice for like essentially like the greater good.
I barely ever think of that. I think of all these people as being the most selfish pieces of shit in the world. But there are so many people, for better or for worse, mm-hmm. who are perpetually self-sacrificing. Maybe it's misguided.
I feel like sometimes, I mean, of course it is sometimes. Yeah. Like, we're talking about it in, like, the nicest sense. Yeah. Whereas, like, other people get pressure where they, you know, they want to do something good, but, they, you know, their friends or the people around them are, you know, fucking racist assholes or, you know, just like the worst type of people. So they bury them, the better part of them. And you know what? Yeah, the part that they portray is more who they are. And it's just the fucked up part that they're portraying, and they're hiding the better part of themselves. So,
or they really want to connect with someone and they care about some woman very deeply, but they treat them terribly because they see that that is the way you relate to mm-hmm. women in the society. And so they end up becoming that person because they bury their, you know, real emotions down, and they become this other thing. I mean,
it can be negative and positive. I think you can look at it, you know, in all the different ways.
But I do think that there's an element that either way it affects society as being a negative or positive or both at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
There is an element that the people who are aspiring to do that, even if they're aspiring to do a bad thing, they're trying to be social.
Yeah.
They're trying to develop something bigger than themselves. And while that might be disgusting or stupid or wonderful, it's like a Valiant or something like that. It's like Valiant or something. I don't know. People can think about that shit for themselves. That's fascinating. I'm going to let you have the last word on it if you want to tell people not to have indulgences, but no. Okay. Yeah.
I don't want, no. Okay. Have indulgences.
Yeah.
Oh, now we're going to end it.
Get down. All right, Lauren, I have chosen a bunch of the music on today's episode, and that's really completely, totally fair, actually, because it's my podcast. But let's listen to a tune that you picked now. What do you want to listen to?
All right, so I want to listen to a tune from my partner, and his name is actually his public persona, which goes in line with everything we've been talking about. So it's under the name Kush Dankson. The song
Kush,
is called
C-U-S-H.
Yeah, C-U-S-H-D-A-N-K-S-O-N. It's Kush on Bandcamp. Right, you can find it.
Is it on Bandcamp or SoundCloud? That's okay. It's on Soundcloud. People get this all confused all the
SoundCloud,
time.
SoundCloud, yeah.
It's on SoundCloud.
I know the difference. So it's one of those things.
Kush Dankson on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Yes, yes. All right. It's called Mr. Montana.
Mr. Montana by Kush Dankson. Get down.
Montana, he died in his sleep of a heart attack on a bench on the corner of 10th Street and 2nd. Something's got to give, eventually the pressure cracks are busting at the seams, it seems to me. This powder keg is going to explode. Welcome to the age of human lows. Industry that's irresponsible. Poverty and inequality. And misogyny, they're coming for you. They're coming for our dreams. With guns and bombs and telethons for all the cancer patients recently evicted from their unsafe spaces. If we want more than park benches, in the end it's gonna have to come to insurrection. I'd rather die starving on my feet than live on my knees begging for scraps. TV in my place while there's children dying, crying out their mother's names. Why should I even have to write a song about what's going on? Can't you open up your eyes and see? Mr. Montana, he died in his sleep of a heart attack on a bench on the corner of 10th Street and 2nd.
All right, that's the end of the episode. Thank you all for getting down with us. Huge thank you to Lauren.
It was a blast.
For
happy to be here.
Coming out and doing another episode with me. I always have a good time. Hopefully Lauren will be down to come back more and do some more episodes.
Of course.
Yeah, she looked miserable when she fucking said that. That's probably
well, nobody
not
can
happen.
See my face, so.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I know what you're looking like. So thank you very much for doing all the work you do with Dispatches. If you want to talk to Lauren, you can do so by going to our Facebook page. You could leave her a message, or you could just post on our page at Dispatch with Me. Just search for Dispatch the Underground, you fucking jackasses. It's Facebook, right? So you figure it out. You can holler at us all the time on Facebook. Make sure you go to our website, dispatcheswiththeunderground.com. Subscribe there. We have a web store. A bunch of merch is up there. Anytime you buy something from the store, it's super helpful to us. Helps put a little bit of money in our pockets while not breaking your bank, and you get something back for it too. So that's wonderful. But also, we do have a donation page on our website. If you can go and you like this podcast, leave a donation. It is a big help. Either way, the podcast is free all the time, and you can subscribe right on the webpage too, dispatchingtheunderground.com. So we're going to be doing episodes every other week for a while now. So we'll have another episode up for you in 2 weeks, but just subscribe so you don't miss any. Sometimes we might post one every week if we're starting to get a lot of them piling up and something big happens in the news or in the underground we want to let you know about. So make sure you subscribe, stay in touch, and as always,
get down.
All right, we're going to end this episode the way we began it, by listening to a tune from a band in Portland, Oregon. These cats play in Dirty Kid Discount, but this is their side project, or I don't know, their main project. I don't know which one's their side thing, or which one's their public persona and their private one. I have no idea who their main persona is, but this is a great band, and I feel like this is the band that should have been contacted to make all the music for this show, because it would have been perfect. It's a band called Shoot Dang from Portland, Oregon. Get down.